Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
I've never been this nervous in my life.
Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
Consequence Podcast Network. Hello, and welcome to the Spark Parade, where I talk to artists and entertainers about their cultural spark of inspiration. I'm Adam Unz, at Spark Parade on all social media. Thank you so much for joining me. If you are a New Yorker, I hope you had a super fun Pride weekend. But, you know, let's face it, I hope you had a super fun Pride weekend no matter where you live. If you're listening to this on release day, it is June 30th, which is the last day of Pride Month. Boo! But we're going to go out with a bang. Yay! My guest today is musician, YouTuber, and podcaster MXM Toon, who chatted with me about the Life is Strange game series. It's a lovely chat. MXM Toon was so kind and thoughtful, and I think this is a lovely way to finish up a fantastic Pride Month. So let's hop to it. Quick MXM Toon facts. Maya, known professionally as MXM Toon, is a singer, songwriter, producer, gamer, and now successful podcaster. She is known for singing and playing the ukulele and is from Oakland, California. Her 2018 self-released EP, Plum Blossom, recorded on her laptop in her parents' guest bedroom, has been streamed over 100 million times. She released her debut album, The Masquerade, in September 2019. MXM Toon's highly successful podcast is called 365 Days with MXM Toon. The podcast, which launched last September, features a daily episode where Maya takes us through the most interesting, weird, and funny events of that day in history. She is also joined by special guests along the way. Quick Life is Strange facts, focusing here on the first game. Life is Strange is an episodic graphic adventure video game, the first installment of the Life is Strange series. The game was released in 5 episodes periodically throughout 2015. The plot focuses on Max Caulfield, an 18-year-old photography student who discovers that she has the ability to rewind time at any moment, leading her every choice to enact the butterfly effect. The player's actions will adjust the narrative as it unfolds and reshape it once allowed to travel back in time. So, there you have it. You're so well informed that you could have done this interview by yourself, but you didn't. So why not listen to it instead? Here comes my chat with MXM Toon about Life is Strange. So, the first question's always, do you remember becoming aware of this game? Or, what's the origin story for you?
I do remember becoming aware of this game. I played my first Life is Strange game back in 2017, and it was just when I started doing Twitch streaming for the first time. I was testing the waters and seeing, you know, what was going to work for me, because I really loved watching people play video games, and I always wanted to try and do that for myself. And I played it with my brother on Twitch, and I think we had around 20 people watching us the entire time, but it was super fun. And I remember loving the idea of involving an audience with helping me make the decisions in the game. And I just have really fond memories of discovering it for the first time and like being blown away by the twists and turns that it takes throughout the entire gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think there's something about adventure games that really lend themselves to Twitch as a platform, that exactly like what you said, that, you know, if you're playing a game where you're like constantly shooting things or whatever, there's not much interactivity that you can have with the people who are watching you. But this way it's like, let's all make decisions as a group. Let's vote on what should happen next. And that's great.
It definitely relieves a lot of guilt that you feel if you want to make a certain decision. Like, you can just place the blame on the audience for deciding what they wanted to do.
Right. Especially in games like these where the stakes are pretty high. If you make the wrong decision, like somebody will die or something, you don't want to.
Exactly. Like, it's not my fault. It's right. This random user who just logged on and just started chatting relentlessly and telling me to do it.
Right.
Not my problem.
Yeah. Right. Right. And yeah, just being able to like not, you know, say that it was a decision by committee rather than something that you have yes. to take full responsibility for, at least in the first game as well, you know, like being able to rewind time. So if you are encouraged by the people watching to do something very bad, then you can say, let's try that again.
Yeah, exactly. Leave some room for error.
Yeah. I think with this game series as well, it's so, the story is so important and such a huge part of what makes the games compelling. But, you know, thinking in particular of the first one that, you know, like set in a school, and even though there are these supernatural science fiction-y elements to it, the relationships between the kids and the relationships between the kids and the adults and whatever, just the way that people interact with each other, the dialogue, it all feels like it's grounded in reality, and the like having a story as a foundation that you can really relate to is such an important part, at least to me, of making a game really addictive and compelling. And I think they do a great job of that.
Absolutely. I think the reason I really love the Life is Strange games is because, I mean, even in my own line of work where I'm making music, I think the goal is always to create a really human story. And with Life is Strange, they constantly do that. It's just really good storytelling with an element of the supernatural intertwined with these sorts of narratives that they're exploring. And I love the games for that very reason. I think that they just do a really good job of explaining what it's like to be a person and the experiences that we go through. And just so happen to be able to rewind time sometimes. Yeah. Like, that's pretty cool too.
Yeah. Or, you know, whatever superpower is yes. you're able to access, it's like always this helpful little addition that would be
that's
quite
really
nice in
convenient.
Real life too.
Yeah. But
yeah. And I think video games as a medium as well, just combining like having a story that, I know that with TV and movies now, especially like, you know, with the explosion in streaming services and content that is a lot freer than if it were on network TV, but still having like certain parameters, story parameters that you need to operate within. And with video games, it's like the worlds are so much bigger. You're spending so much more time with the characters. And so it's like the story just grows exponentially from what it would be in a traditional narrative structure. So it's really important that you have characters that you can relate to and that you feel like, you know, you are invested in their story and you actually want to, you know, you're worried about what happens to them. Again, with a game like this where it's high stakes, where, you know, you like the characters enough that you don't want them to die. It's not like, get rid of them.
Yeah, it's totally. I remember having a moment playing Life is Strange where I realized you could actually play Dungeons and Dragons with the group of the side characters. And like in a TV show, you would never be able to do that unless that's like a focused arc of the storyline. Like, but in Life is Strange, there's this beautiful, all these beautiful moments where you can go and you can interact with these people, but you might not necessarily have been able to talk with in something like a movie or a TV show. But you can have these moments where you're playing Dungeons and Dragons with these side characters that you see sometimes and get to know them more as characters. And that further just involves you in the world and the like story that's being told in these games. I think that's so cool. Like, very rarely you get to see that outside of a format like video games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just by the nature, again, of the medium, like it's so much more immersive. You feel like you're actually a part of the story and you are actually controlling what happens. It's like there's, you know, a certain set of options. It's mm-hmm. in a game like this. It's not like infinite. It's not an open world thing. But, you know, there are other possibilities of where the story can go besides just having it dictated to you and you're, you know, a passive observer. You're actually a participant. I mean, duh. It's like, that's very clear that that's how video games work. I don't think I need to explain that to you or to anybody listening to this. But yeah, and also just like the advances, how quickly games... the technology behind games advances, like looking at the first game and looking at like, you know, the gameplay trailer for the new one, that it's so amazing to me, more than any other form of entertainment, it just is like this leaps and bounds change. And it's only been whatever, 5-6 years.
Absolutely. I mean, I was looking at the graphics when I saw the trailer for the new Life is Strange game. And it's just wild because in my memory, like the older games look just as good as that. And so I went back and I was looking at the gameplay and I was like, oh, they don't necessarily look as good as this new game. But it is crazy, like the level of technological advancement that takes place between titles. But also, I think it speaks to the quality of the Life is Strange games, is that the narrative is so good. The visuals can only add more to that experience and like the storytelling and everything. But yeah, it's wild. I'm so excited to be able to play the new game and to see how the technological advancements that they're experiencing and can apply to this title. It's going to be really cool. I'm very stoked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I heard or saw an interview with Kumail Nanjiani the other day where he was talking about why he loves playing video games. And it's like all of those things combined, that the way narratives are driven, the stories that are being told, the technology involved, all of those elements, that there tends to be a much more progressive trajectory. There's a lot more risk taking and just, you know, like the advancements in film technology are slower because it involves real people, and that's never going to change. It's like people are not advancing like machines are. So, you know, you can have the representations of people in games advancing and getting more realistic with each passing day. And obviously that's not happening with real people in movies.
I mean, yeah, I play so many games that are parts of a series and part of this larger storyline that happens. And it's just so cool to see how they progress and to be a longtime fan of so many different titles that have these teams that are working on it and constantly striving to give the updates for the visuals or add new components and new elements. It's really exciting in a way that, like, when you watch a movie series, like, you can love those storylines and you could see how CGI improves over the course of its creation. But there's a certain level of like, okay, we've done this and we can keep making really good stuff. But with video games, it's this constant like, oh, how can we keep making this better? And there's going to always be something new there, which is super cool as a gamer, just to know that there's going to be more and more stuff on the horizon.
Right. And also, I mean, even looking back at those earlier games, I think even though the technology's advanced so much, it doesn't, it's still like that world is all completely, you know, it's all using the same technology. It feels uniform. And if you look back at an old movie that has like CGI that's super dated, it feels really like, oh, that, you know,
it's really like, jarring. Yeah.
It really clangs. So it's nice to have like everything kind of blended into one. Do you find that, do you play video games mostly just on Twitch, or do you play it in your own time too?
I actually mostly play video games in my free time now, just because I find that it's just, there's something so highly enjoyable about being completely immersed in your own when you're playing a video game. And I miss making decisions with my audience because I definitely like being able to blame the committee for all the decision making that will take place if I'm not happy with something. But I really play a lot of video games when I'm like in bed at the end of the night and I'm like, okay, I'm giving myself like 2 hours to get through this next quest that I have going on in like Breath of the Wild or something. Like, all right, let me sit down and really focus in on this.
Yeah. My husband is obsessed with Breath of the Wild right now. Like every second that he can get, he's straight on it. Are adventure games your jam? You play Minecraft too, don't you?
I do play Minecraft. I play pretty much any title under the sun outside of horror, but I love watching people play horror games. So that's when I find Twitch and I go and watch the playthroughs because I cannot be in charge of moving around like a castle and in a Resident Evil. That's way too scary. I don't want to be responsible for that.
Right. Yeah, it feels worse when you're playing. It like when you're the one who, you know, your character might die. And like you said, it's like your responsibility to keep them safe. It's like, it's very intense. But if you're watching somebody else do it, then it's like, you know, again, blaming other people for the terrible things that happen.
The greatest thing, yeah.
Yeah, I remember there was an Alien game on PlayStation like 4 or 5 years ago, something maybe it's longer than that, that was like absolutely terrifying. And even that one, like watching it was really stressful because it was really built around jump scares and like, you know, trying to make you cry.
Way too scary. I remember having to watch my friend play Mass Effect and I was just like looking away constantly. I could not do it. I was like, okay, I can kind of, I was taking peeks through my hands to try and see what was going on the screen, but it was just way too scary for me. And some video games out there, I don't know how the people work on them. Like, it's wild to be a part of the creation process and know what's going on. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Time for a quick break, because somebody's got to keep the lights on around here. But we'll be right back.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Have you ever watched Mythic Quest?
I have, actually. With my dad.
Yeah. It's like, you know, a very light, kind of gentle TV show, but just seeing that kind of stuff, like any show that shows the kind of behind the scenes drama of, you know, an industry that I'm interested in is always kind of funny. just thinking again about the stories with the Life is Strange games, I think, you know, getting back again to the first one, that idea of having this, like having teenagers be the protagonist, having a female protagonist as well. I know there was a lot of like initial pushback when they were trying to pitch the game, that people were saying, oh, nobody's going to want to play a game unless a boy is the lead. And it's like, obviously is not true. And there have been a lot of games that have proven that wrong. But I think not only having a compelling narrative and having situations that feel real, but treating the characters with respect. And even though the kids are teenagers, allowing them to have like real complex emotional lives instead of, you know, skeletal like sketches of characters. And again, when you're playing, when you're spending so much time with them, you really have to believe that they are, you know, if not real people, that the characters represent what real people act like and the things that they feel.
Completely. I mean, I think that one of the reasons I was a teenage girl when I was playing the Life is Strange game for the first time. And I think for me to experience having a protagonist that felt complex and really well thought out, and Max being just this really strong individual who is trying to navigate her own path. And I felt seen for the first time in a lot of the video games I play, are so, especially I think male, like video games in general are very male dominated sphere, and it's very marketed towards teenage boys to consume. But Life is Strange feels like this narrative storyline that really focuses around the complexities of being a teenager and focusing on being a young woman too, which was really exciting and I think really meaningful. And, you know, they've continued to keep making titles that I think speak to the teenage experience with Life is Strange 2 and Life is Strange Before the Storm. And now this next one coming up too, really focusing in again on what it's like to be a young woman.
Yeah. And I think having that as like the central core of these games, but having the, you know, the idea, like talking about bullying, talking about, you know, the stresses of being teenagers and people, you know, whatever, experimenting with drugs or like having problems at home and having, you know, their parents splitting up or cheating on each other or whatever, that it's like, you know, again, comparing it to like Hollywood stuff, obviously in teen shows now, there is, it's a lot more realistic incorporating those kinds of issues into people's lives. But as I've said for the 500th time, the idea that you're spending so much time with these characters, you really want to feel like the issues that they're encountering are things that you can relate to, or things that like, you know, other people that age are experiencing and going through, so that it feels like, you know, the immersion in this world is grounded in some kind of, you know, in reality with supernatural elements.
Yes. I mean, it's very cool. I think even the way that Life is Strange releases their games with the chapters element and being able to focus in, like, it feels very episodic, and that's the point of the entire game. But what I really loved about it is that it didn't feel like it was like skipping over anything. You take time to really dive into all these aspects, like Chloe's family life and Max's like experience moving, and all these different aspects are not passing things that we go through, they are very built out. Like you said, you're spending a lot of time focusing in on these specific aspects of these characters' lives, and it's very believable and you feel really emotionally attached to them. And so the decision-making process is just heightened by the fact that you have all this detail and access to what their lives have been like thus far.
Yeah, totally. And I totally agree with the thing that you said about the episodic nature as well, that it's like, I don't know, graphic novels or something where you have like little chunks, you can get excited about the world that's being built and start getting invested in the characters, but it also keeps anticipation high so that you're always, you know, it forces you to take breaks. I mean, I am thinking again of my husband playing Breath of the Wild, where it's like, because the whole game is here, it's like, I have to play all the time. So, you know, kind of forcing people to have maybe a little healthy time away from the game and be able to have something to look forward to.
That's too funny. I use Breath of the Wild as my break game as well. And yeah, I think like having access to such an expansive universe is one of the most wonderful things about video games. But the episodic nature of Life is Strange, I think it paces the person who's playing and really gives you a second to like, okay, let's take in the amount of information that we just played through, because that was a very traumatic thing that we just played through. Why don't I take a second to just breathe?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's clear that everybody spends all of their time looking at screens now, and especially with the rather unusual year that we've all just been through, where, you know, people have mostly been at home, people haven't been really doing anything besides just staring at screens all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that having a game that's episodic doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to stop looking at screens. It just means you can move on to another game. But in theory, if not in practice, just being able to kind of step away and say, you know, I've gotten as far as I can get right now, and I have to wait a little while until the next little bit comes out.
Yeah, pacing yourself with video games is definitely always a welcome, healthy practice, I would say. I don't have very much good self-restraint when it comes to like playing video games in good amounts, but you know, if you do, good for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I find it, it's one of the hardest things, I think. Yeah, being forced, having something that's episodic where you can say, I would really love to keep going, but I can't, is maybe the way forward, because otherwise I'm just like, you know, staying up until 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's,
right.
It's impossible.
Yeah. So healthy breaks, everyone. That's the order of the day, I think. It is very exciting that you are actually going to be a part of this world. Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
quite an achievement. And look forward to seeing what the new game looks like.
Me too.
Yeah. Like, well, you've got the gameplay trailer like the rest of us. So
true. I'm pretty much in the dark about a lot of it too. So I'll be playing through it for the first time alongside a lot of people, and I'm super excited to see what's there.
That's very exciting. Do you think you're gonna play any of the new one on Twitch?
I definitely will. That one, I will return back to Twitch, and I will continue to ask the group of people watching what they would like me to do. I think that'll ease my decision making a little bit more too. Yeah.
And also, I think, you know, not just having to a way to alleviate your guilt, but being able to experience it with a big group of people, you know, having everybody be excited about it and experiencing it as you experience it for the first time, is a pretty cool thing. That's one of the best things about Twitch as a platform.
Love communal experiences. And I think like Twitch has definitely been a huge part of that over the last year, really, with just being able to provide a community space for so many people to experience stuff together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, I feel very, very good. This has been so much fun. Thank you so much for making time for me.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I always love talking about video games, so thanks for giving me an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, my pleasure. So thanks again, and take care.
Awesome. Thanks, Adam.
Hey. Bye. Wasn't that fun? That's a rhetorical question, because obviously the answer is a resounding yes. Thanks again to Maya for chatting with me. You can stream and download her podcast 365 Days with MXM Tune on Spotify or wherever you stream or download podcasts. Same thing with all of her music. Okay, quick inspirational cultural moment from me this week. I'm finishing out Pride Month with another queer icon, Rebecca Black. Yes, for real. I'm leaning into my gayest, poppiest self to cap off a month of celebrations. If you only know Rebecca Black from Friday, the song that brought her to the public consciousness, I can understand your possible skepticism about this particular recommendation, but her new EP, Rebecca Black Was Here, is really good. She's been working with a lot of other interesting people over the last few years, including doing a song with Big Frida and a completely bonkers collaboration with Dorian Electra. But this new EP is just pop perfection. So if you like pop music and gay shit, you should check it out. Okay, that's about it for the week. Back next week with more exciting inspirational culture. Please remember that Pride Month isn't just for June, it's for life. Stay safe. Stay cool if you're in a hot place like me. And until next time, bye.
Hot Goss with Trash Comedy is the podcast where we trade sweet, sweet facts like they're dirty little pieces of gossip.
We're a New York-based comedy team, and we're joined each week with a funny, delightful friend.
After each person shares their facts, we rate those facts from, oh my god, that's not hot, that's as cold as the coldest ice you've ever seen, to, oh my god, that's so spicy, my mouth is gone.
So if that made sense to you, then please join us on Mondays, wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.